Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Why does he get to go?
Hey, that's Billy, man. It's Billy for you.
Or maybe he's playing catch with his dad. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Iowa.
Hey, with Billy, you never know.
But Mahoney is in a Field of Dreams tournament, so
yes.
It's really cool in Dyersville. So we expect to get an update here shortly.
You know, I met some – I don't know if I told this story. I think I might have told it last week or the week before, but I met some neighbors in my new neighborhood, and they were walking their dog, and I was letting my dogs out.
This is house 18.
Yeah, pretty much so. Yep. So I was letting my dog out, and the mother and the daughter, they were walking there. They had this little pug, mother, daughter, and a son. And they introduced themselves, and we got to talking and everything else. Hey, you know, how long you been here, and welcome to the neighborhood, and yada, 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 what do you do, and... You know, it's your family. I was like, oh, my son's in from college. And, oh, what college you gonna told him? And then, you know, she said, well, what do you do? I was like, well, I'll do radio. And then, you know, Willie Donick, Darren McFarland, yada, yada, yada. Her daughter goes to USC. And I was like, oh, so you might know, you know, Mahoney. And she was like, yeah, I know Mahoney. Yes. You know, she raved about Mahoney. So.
Uh-huh.
How much of a, you know, cool dude he is and good baseball player and basketball player. So, yeah. So that's a small world.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Mahoney got a few friends.
So
few
Mahoney
fans.
Takes after Aaron. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
So we learned that he doesn't look like a rainbow when he dresses.
Absolutely.
And thinks that Depeche Mode is cutting edge. So, okay. Yeah, we learned a little bit.
So he's nothing like Willie.
Well, apparently he does have some sports genes in him from Willie. So there is that.
Just a little bit, you know.
There is that.
He might inherit everything from his grandfather, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily Willie.
Not, so I've got a little bit of an update.
Okay.
And I said this a little bit over an hour ago on Robbie and Rex Road. Elijah was filling in for Robbie and Joe. And, look, I just got back from a trip. You know this trip that I do every year, 15 mm-hmm. years. And I look forward to it every year. I enjoy it. But I realize it is shedding time off my life. I realize when I get back, like, I've just trimmed probably a couple years off of my life. I'm just that much closer to death because of this trip. But I still look forward to it every year. And I'm glad to be back home.
So you're blaming the trip.
No, I'm not blaming the trip. I know. It's like you know what you've signed up for. So,
exactly.
You know, it's like Tennessee baseball this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what you've signed up for, and then just wait and see how it all plays out. We'll get to that here shortly. But there were a couple things that mm-hmm. we needed to shore up.
Okay.
One, said we're going to cross the suit and I. We're going to check out the Buc-ee's in Crossville if it was open.
Mm-hmm.
It is very close. It is not open yet. So the Buc-ee's in Crossville, we did have a listener tell us last week that they actually, on the text line, that they said it's not open yet. But we wanted, you know, just check, make sure. You never know. You know,
y'all drove by it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's right off the – again, you can't miss a Buc-ee's. Like, it's impossible. They don't build it in the cornfields, so it's right off the exit so you can see it. In fact, they built stadium lights around it.
Oh.
So you can, like, you know, see it like a baseball stadium. And then we looked for the one in Sevierville. We could not find it, so clearly I don't think they've broken ground. Again, you can't miss it If they were. And they'll let you know. Even if you did miss it, they'll let you know every 30 feet with a sign. So we don't believe the one in Sevierville is has broken ground yet. So I think they've just maybe approved.
Okay.
Which I can't imagine that a Bucky's in Pigeon Forge will work. You know, I don't see that working.
No, not at all.
No, they'll have to probably do some advertising.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if people will stop in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I'd love to be the owner of that store. Man, can you imagine their nightly deposits? Wow.
Goodness. Hey, it's busy 24/7.
Man, it is. It is 24/7. So, yesterday, coming back, we were listening to our buddy Vince, who will join us today at noon, a little Smoky Mountain rain. And Vince and John Wilkerson on the call, and we were listening to the game. Then we stopped in Cookeville. We're like, you know what? We're way ahead of schedule. Traffic, for whatever reason, was cooperating. It was actually kind of eerie. It wasn't bad at all, which I don't know. Maybe people with the gas prices, they're just not traveling as much. I don't know, but it was not – we're in the middle of June, Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and let's just say it was very manageable.
Ah.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what that means. And I know they lost a lot of cabins lately in the fire, so I don't know what's going on. But we were way ahead of schedule, and we're like, let's just stop and let's sit down and eat, and we can watch the game. So we did. We watched the game, and then we for a while, and then we get back in the car and we finish it out listening to the car. I'll just tell you, teammates, we were obviously, like a lot of people, just stunned that they actually lost and their season is over. They didn't even make it to Omaha. If you would say, hey, you know, they didn't win the whole thing, okay, it's really, really hard. But a team with that success and 57 wins and that swagger and people already throwing out, is it maybe the greatest college baseball team ever, and they don't even get to Omaha, they don't even get to the College World Series when they were going to be a host throughout until that point, there's no amount of money I think I would have bet that they'll get upset, but they did.
I mean, it's sports, man. It's, it's one of those – sports is one of those deals where, one, it will humble you very, very quickly. But also it will put you in a state of euphoria that you may not ever feel in your life because you winning a championship and everything that comes along with it, that feeling you can possibly never, ever recreate. So you get kind of sort of both ends of the spectrum when it comes to that. But I'm with you. It was a shocker. Not that they didn't win the championship, but they got put out early. They got dominated in the first game, came back, dominated the second game, and then the last game was a grueling match. And they tightened up. You know, you can't call it anything else. They had never been truly in a position like that. And, you know, Notre Dame, they were not favored to win this game. You know, this series. So they just went out there and played with a lot of poise and a lot of confidence. And not to say that Tennessee didn't, but you can see once things started to get a little tight, they begin to get a little tight. So Notre Dame had an unforced error, but then UT came back. Why in the heck did the guy run? I don't know, to try to, you know. That I think that right there pretty much sealed the deal when he, you know, because of the bad pitch, he tried to take second and end up get thrown out. That pretty much sealed the deal.
But what did we talk about on
Oh, wait a
Friday,
minute. What
guys?
Is that voices from the cornfield?
The cornfield, yes.
What?
If you build it, he will come.
Are you going to go the distance with us today?
Go the distance. I'm going the distance, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, going
the distance. Okay. All right. So let's pause. Right. That's a perfect spot. Okay. So the cornfields have spoken. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion.
Yes.
And we'll get an update from Billy what it's like in Dyersville. So we'll do all that on the other side here on the DDC. ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 and The Game Nashville app. You're darn tootin' you are. We're back. here on this Monday morning. A tip of the day is how it's labeled on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And the tip is from Neil. Never run backwards through a cornfield. I'll trust Neil on that. That sounds like good, solid advice. I've never tried it, but Willie, I don't think you should either. But exactly. If you choose to go on your morning jog, maybe you go backwards through the cornfields. I don't know. But Neil says don't do it.
It sounds like it's not worth testing. That would be a very difficult task.
I just would like to ask Neil, how did you find out that was
exactly.
a bad idea? What's the story behind that?
Was it a dare by some friends?
Hey, all right, you lost, Neil. Take your shirt off, run backwards through the cornfields.
Oh,
what?
Man.
Yep, yeah, that's what you got to do. I don't know. Not sure. Nate on our text line says, sounds like D-Mace lives in a ritzy neighborhood with top hats and suits. No, Chase doesn't live in your neighborhood.
No.
Worn all the time with their pugs. Does sound like your neighborhood was at the Iroquois steeplechase. It does sound like
no,
that.
I have a good neighbor. I have a really good neighbor. It's a mix of age and well, just age. I'm not going to say anything else. But it's a good mix of age. Let's just say that. That's all it's a good mix of. Old, young. You know, people that know Willie and people that don't know Willie.
Well, they know Mahoney.
They know Mahoney, yes.
They know Mahoney. They're like, who's this Billy guy?
Yeah.
Who's I know
Billy?
Mahoney.
Mahoney's,
oh, yeah.
Mahoney's dad? I think I know him.
Well, goofy guy?
I know Aaron, but Willie.
Speaking
I might have heard
Mahoney
his name.
And Billy, they are in Dyersville, right?
Well, we're staying in Dubuque, which is a couple towns over. It's a little. That's where we flew into.
Okay.
You fly to Dubuque,
you can let me get this straight. You can fly into Dubuque.
There's one gate. One gate, one runway.
One gate. What airline?
Two flights a day. American Eagle.
So you didn't take the people train?
I think that might have been an option, but I don't think the people's train goes through Dubuque.
Not in the movie. Sure. They didn't say that in the movie.
In the movie, they didn't say that,
no.
So we didn't look into that. But we flew to Chicago, and then we took a smaller plane, which flies, I think, twice a day from Chicago to Dubuque.
Okay.
And Dubuque, Iowa, is in the song, Talking Baseball. We'll have to play it a little bit later, but they knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. Remember, you know that song, so we'll play it a little bit later.
You're even mentioned in the song,
Oh,
yeah,
so you were in the song, huh, Willie?
I wasn't in the song. That's not me.
Oh, it's not you.
That's not
Willie.
Oh, okay.
It's Willie Mays.
Dang it.
A little bit better. A little bit better. But we are very close to the Field of Dreams. Of course, it really came back into prominence last year when Major League Baseball played a baseball game between the White Sox and the Yankees. Now, it wasn't on the field that they had the movie with Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams, James Earl Jones. Great classic, of course. Everybody knows that movie. But we, the 16U Knights Platinum baseball team, will be playing on the field from the movie.
Platinum.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got to know
just,
your code.
We're just blue. You guys are platinum.
Yeah.
Well,
excuse us, Willie.
Hey, hello.
Yeah. So we are playing a team from California, from the San Francisco area, in a three-game series on the Field of Dreams. So nine-inning games, one per night, tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So it's going to be exciting. Now, I have not been to the field yet, but you guys were asking about the cornfields. Everything looks the same from the videos some of the guys have sent, except that the corn hasn't grown to the heights that it normally that it will later in the season. It's in the process of growing, but it's kind of short right now.
Okay.
So maybe it is possible to go backwards through the corn fields right now. I'll have to investigate that tonight and tell you guys tomorrow. But everything else from the field looks exactly the same. Obviously, they've preserved it from the movie. Even the house that Kevin Costner lives in, the White House is sitting there up on the hill. So it's there. It's intact, everything like that. So it's open to the public all day as a, you know, sightseeing thing. And then at night, they play games. So, you know, local high schools can play tournaments.
So you haven't seen the first game yet?
Nope, we haven't played a game yet. We traveled yesterday to get here.
Okay.
So we're all in great anticipation. It was going to be a bigger tournament, but some teams dropped out. So it's just a one-on-one. It's a one-on-one Nashville versus San Fran.
Oh, there's only like two teams?
Two teams. It's like the Predators versus the Sharks for a three-game series.
Okay. So this is a super regional.
It's like a super regional. Yeah, it's like a super regional, yeah.
Okay.
So that, and of course, that segues us back into Knoxville yesterday. And because this is what our discussion was on Friday. Darren, while you guys were frolicking over in the
Well, I was losing time off my time on Earth.
Exactly.
While you guys were frolicking in the Smokies, Derek asked the question.
I would like to be able to be like, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like, I would love to be able to prop my body up and run the tires backwards and get some miles back. I really would love to do that and not shoot through the garage and down the cliff.
Yeah.
Which is
and
kind
as
of
we
the
learned
trip.
In that movie, as we learned in that movie, that doesn't work.
Nah.
You try to take the miles off.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't really work. But Derek asked the question, would it be a failure if they lost this series? And I cautioned. I said, look, we've been through this before. We've seen the Predators as the number one overall seed. We've seen the Titans as the number one overall seed. We've seen Vanderbilt baseball as the number one overall seed. Tennessee's in this same situation. I have been consistent. I never used the word failure. Disappointed, no question about it. I put people on the list that say it's a failure. Because in a 2 out of 3, as we explained on Friday, it's much, much different than a regional. If you lose the regional, that's kind of on you. But a 2 out of 3 against a good quality team like Notre Dame, all it takes is a couple of pitchers to pitch above their weight a little bit, and that's exactly what happened. And maybe you're just a little bit off. One of your top guys or a couple of your top guys don't pitch their best. In a small sample size, like 2 out of 3 in baseball, you're susceptible. That's the reason why no number one overall seed has won since 1999. So it's happened to everybody.
But Willie,
so I don't know why it's not that much of a fluke that they lost, as dominating as Tennessee has been.
But Willie, I get what you're saying. I really do. But I'm not. This is not going to be the narrative. This is not going to be the narrative that everyone tries to paint. Okay, it was a failure. They were the best team in the country, hands down, better than everybody.
Yes.
Every sport, once you get to the playoff, it's hard. Baseball, basketball, football, soccer, golf, tennis, it doesn't matter. When you start playing the best of the best, it's going to be hard. So I'm not going to prescribe to, oh, man, it's hard. It's hard. You got to it's hard to win. That's why you play the game. That's why you get up. That's why you're prepared every game, because you know how hard it is. I can see if Tennessee wasn't the best team in the country, hands down. I ain't going to even get into the antics, because I don't think that's the reason why they lost the game. This was a team that I think came in, and it was the arrogance. It was truly the arrogance of, and they were. But you have to have that in a sense when you're playing either, you know, one-on-one sport or a team sport. There has to be a level of arrogance that you go out there with, okay? Not an arrogance to show up to the other team, but an arrogance like, we are good. We are the best. We have some of the best players in the country on our team. I'm not going to prescribe to, oh, it's hard. You know, Vandy didn't do it when they were number one seed. The Titans didn't do it when they were a number one seed. The Preds didn't do it when they were a number one seed. That's why you play the game. Because when you get in the playoffs, only so few teams get in, and you know it's going to be hard. So I'm not going to go with that. I'm not going to go down that road of it's hard and, you know, this and that. No, they just lost. They lost to a team they should have beat. Everybody knows it. Tennessee knows it.
So that means, though, by your standards, the last 22 one overall seeds all failed and lost games they shouldn't have lost.
Exactly. They all failed. And they would tell you.
That's kind of a coincidence that 22 in a row.
But they would tell you they failed.
That's not winning the national championship. That doesn't mean they didn't get to Omaha.
Exactly. This team didn't even get to Omaha.
It's a different narrative. If they didn't win at all in Omaha, yeah, people would still come out with this, but it would be a much lesser degree. When you are this dominant and this good and you don't even get to the final stage, I'm with Derek. It's a fail. I don't care how you look at it. There's no way anyone would have been convinced this team having home field advantage throughout the regional and super regional was not going to make it to Omaha. Nobody was calling for the upset. No one. Literally no one. So how can you not say it's a fail when no one in the country is calling for them not to get there?
Because
your stat is not to win a national championship. That's a totally different thing. Not finishing it off at the finish line.
But it's happened a lot in the super regional.
Tell us how many never made it to Omaha. Let's check that stat.
It's about 10. That never made it to Omaha.
I know it's not one or two. I get it, but it's not 22.
It's at least five or six have lost in the two out of three. Vanderbilt happened to them one time in 2013 against Louisville. They lost two in a row.
But that still should be a
really
disappointing team. That still should
it's
be a disappointing team. Yes.
Absolutely. Disappointing is the right
it's
word.
It's a failure.
Failure is not the right word.
Failure. You did not even get to the – you did not even advance to give yourself an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I mean, not Super Bowl, but the World College World Series. You didn't give yourself a chance.
Yes, but how does baseball work? In baseball, let's take your Detroit Tigers, Derek. They're not a great team right now. But they could go to Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees right now.
Exactly.
Justin
Verlander. It's been a little while.
It's been a good while.
Look, we could use other examples.
I think I was still playing.
Okay, let's take the 84 Tigers, right? The world champion.
Uh-huh.
With our buddy Lance Parrish and Jack Morris and all those guys.
Lou Whitaker.
Dominating team. They were the best team from wire to wire, 1984. But you could pick a series during the season where they lost two out of three to a bad team.
But that's during the season.
Yes.
That is not in the playoffs.
Game.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
The season in the playoffs is two different. Anybody that understands, a new season starts once you get into the playoffs. Yeah. They are nothing alike.
But yes, they are. But this is
other
how baseball
than, you know,
works.
The people playing.
How do you? Okay, but how does baseball work? What happened to Tennessee a couple of times yesterday? And I don't know how many they turned during the three game series, but yesterday, what did Notre Dame get? They got some timely double play balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a grounder to the third baseman. If it's hit a little bit different, it's not a double play ball, but it goes right to him. 5-4-3, inning over. That's how the series ended. But they must have turned at least three or four over the weekend at timely spots. Or you hit the line drive. You hit the ball right on the nose, and it's right at the guy. And Tennessee did do some things to hurt themselves. They made some big mistakes defensively, and some of those guys just flat out did not pitch as well as they did during the regular season. But you know what? That's how the game works. It just caught up at the wrong time.
Tennessee failed their fans.
Hard to dominate wire to wire.
If they don't get to this point again for the next 10 years, you know what Tennessee fans will be screaming? We had our chance in 2022.
Right. Save that. Yeah. That's a good way. We'll come back on the other side and discuss that because I do think that's an interesting point. By the way, abracadabra_1 on Twitter tweets at us and says, Villy has always been corny, but never more than today. So there you go. A little Field of Dreams reference.
Yep, yep.
Thank you. You'll hear a lot of corn on the show, because you're going to be there all week, right?
Yes, we are traveling back on Thursday.
A two-team tournament lasting that long. Interesting. Okay.
That's three-game set, man. We're going to find. I hope this team is not like the San Francisco Giants, like way better than us, and I hope they're not like way worse than us. If the two teams are even, this is going to be a blast.
Okay.
It'll be a blast no matter what, but we're hoping for that.
We'll come back and discuss that on the other side. First, Willie, you've got a word about QC Kinetics.
Yes, I do. QC Kinetics, of course, we're in the active season of the year. Here I am back in over in Iowa and probably going to jog around today. And, you know, when you want to get active during the summer, if you have the joint pain, you can't live like you want to. And that's where QC Kinetics has a solution for you. If you've had joint pain, hip, knee, back, shoulders, whatever is taking the fun out of what you want to do, whether it's jogging like for me, or playing pickup basketball or golf or hiking or tennis, whatever it is, regenerative medicine is the hottest thing going. And that's where QC Kinetics is on the cutting edge of this stuff from local medical professionals. This in-office non-surgical treatment can repair and restore the damaged tissue in your joints and give you that long-lasting relief from pain. You may not have looked into this of late. So get real relief from pain. No surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. It's very, very different from that what you've been told. It's not something that's been around forever. So stop putting it off. Check out and see if this is for you. Call QC Kinetics and get a totally free in-office consultation. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born. Marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball.
Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland. Billy Donick.
Here comes Dubuque. Ready? Here's Dubuque. The barber and the nuke. Right here.
They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Here we go.
That's where I am.
Especially Willie.
And Willie. I mean, right there.
They're not thinking about me, though.
And Willie.
That would have been great foresight to know that I would be here on this day to write that song with me and mine.
D-Mace is alongside, and Derek said exactly what I had been thinking. Like, one, I said this morning on our morning show at 9 o'clock that, look, maybe they'll use this as the motivation. And Tony Vitello was saying this in the press conference that Notre Dame used because everybody expected Notre Dame to get there last year, and they didn't. Everybody, because you know we talked about it. We talked with Tim Corbin about Arkansas and what they were like last year and how tough they were. No one picked NC State going to Fayetteville and beating Arkansas. Arkansas didn't get to Omaha. That was considered if everybody had them in the College World Series. And guess what? Arkansas and Notre Dame are there this year. So clearly they use that as motivation. We've talked about teams being put out early and using it as motivation or not getting where everybody expected them to get. And the next year they use it as motivation and they plow through. Maybe that happens to Tennessee. What if it doesn't, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because as we know, look, I was the one sitting there saying that the Predators are in that window after they lost Game 6 in the Stanley Cup Final. Well, it was true for a season. And the next year they were the best team in hockey in the regular season. I was like, hey, you know, it stinks, but hey, the Predators are in this window for the next 4 or 5 years. Well, I mean, they've been in a window, a playoff window, but the last 4 years they've been out in the first round. The very next year – they got put out in 7 in the second round. So it never happened where we all thought, oh, the Predators are going to get back there the next year. They'll write, you know, they'll finish things off the following year. We all thought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened. Yeah. So what if that happens?
Okay, this is how baseball works, though. I think there is a very good chance in the next 3 to 5 years that Tennessee will have a team that's not as dominant and – find their way to Omaha and win, because that's how baseball works. That can absolutely happen. What is transpiring now? Auburn didn't pull it off last night, right? They lost, so they still got a shot. But there's a very real scenario that the SEC could get 4 teams in Omaha, and one of them is not Tennessee. And you've been saying all year long, Darren, you thought the league was down.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And the league is not down. It's the best league in America every year, and they're going to get their teams in there. And,
by the way, if this was 2025, this would be an all-SEC College World Series, basically.
Honestly, that could happen one day because of where it's going. I don't. It's not going to be all SEC, but six is not out of the realm at all.
Let me. I say that because Oklahoma and Texas are in.
Let me. Maybe this will make Tennessee fans feel a little bit better. Vanderbilt had, I think, the best team they've ever had in a regular season. The records would back that up. It's right up there. I mean, the 2019 team was awesome. We could have that debate a different day. But 2013 was a tremendous, tremendous college baseball team, and they lost to Louisville in the Super Regional. Got beat two straight games, two tight games. Could have gone either way. They didn't get the big hit, all of these things. They came back next year with a team that wasn't nearly as good. They didn't even host. They weren't even going to host the Super Regional, but there was an upset and allowed them to host. They went on and won the College World Series. So I believe that that will happen with Tennessee one of these years.
So, should Tennessee fans feel good about that?
Because I think that the way baseball works, if you have a good team every year, eventually you'll have things fall into place and you'll have success in Omaha. And Tennessee has a great program. They've got a lot of young players that will be back. You know, the transfer portal is always a wild card, but I know they've got at least one or two really high-profile transfers coming in. So they'll be loaded again next year. It's just a matter of putting it all together for one postseason. I don't think this is a one-year blip by any stretch. They went to Omaha last year.
So what you're saying is Tennessee fans should you know, just feel okay because, hey, this happened to Vandy before, too. You know,
we're the number one seed. It happened to Arkansas last year, as Darren just said.
Man, yeah. That's attitude of a mediocre person. It's attitude of a loser, okay? I love you, Willie.
Not at all.
Yes, it is, Willie. It's like
not at all.
It's like okay, we didn't win it, but hey, listen. UT didn't win. Vandy didn't win it 1 year. Arkansas, so we should feel good. If you're a Tennessee fan and you feel that way, you shouldn't be a Tennessee fan. You should be outraged that your team did not win after being clearly the best team, dominant team.
Again,
not even the best, but they were the most dominant team.
You're misunderstanding me. There's a difference between saying your team failed and being extremely disappointed. You can be disappointed and down in the dumps and really angry, all of that stuff. That's natural emotion. That's what you should feel. And as a player and a coach, absolutely, you're devastated. You're devastated. But that's different than not understanding how the sport works and how sports work in general. It's not just baseball, but baseball and hockey probably are the extreme in the randomness that can happen in a small sample size when you play 2 out of 3.
Okay,
Willie, happens all the time.
Willie, I get it. It happens all the time. I understand. We're not in school where if you get a D, you get a D, then don't worry about it, babe. You got next semester to make it up.
No.
Okay? Well, if you get a D or F in the second semester, your anus failed. And you're going to repeat that course. It was a failure, a colossal failure. Now you got to repeat that course in summer school. Now your summer is gone. You can't be at the Field of Dreams. Your summer is spent in the Field of Classrooms.
Okay. Look,
it's a failure, Willie.
Everybody's got to have their method for when they don't achieve your goal, how do you go about it? How does it drive you? That's a great point. I agree. You have to be driven by the lack of achieving the goal you set out to do. And you have to do some self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I don't think they're ever going to change. But I would say in the game of baseball, when you play with all the emotion that jacks you up and do all the things that they do to the full extreme, you are a little bit susceptible. There are some that say that's not the best way to play baseball. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something they'll look at from within, that a little bit more of the even keel does serve you well when it comes to crunch time, but that's for them to decide. But I do think that if you look all through the years, the best teams have a little bit more even keel. Baseball is not a game of rah-rah emotion as much as other games are.
No, you're right about that.
I would say this.
Emotions.
It's hard for me to buy. Like, I get it. It's hard. I'll buy the it's hard because I go back to Derek's original point. All sports is hard. But you can't tell me 2 out of 3s, a super regional 2 out of 3 where it's double elimination is harder than single elimination. To me, you've got more of a case of if the team flops, well, Rick Barnes did it again. I know you've heard me say that. But it's so hard, Darren. It's single elimination. All you do is one game, you don't show up, and you're out, and you go home. That's, to me, a better football. You throw three picks. It was one game. If they play the Bengals two more times, they beat them the next two times. You could say that is much more of an excuse than two out of three. Double elimination at home? Come on. That's a hard sell to me whenever you are the clear-cut best team in the country and you're trying to make a case of it's hard when you have to lose two the place they've been extremely dominant at. Dominant. Just murdering teams at home. That they lost two of the three at home. And you want to paint the picture how hard that is? How difficult that is? Sorry, I'm not buying that. There's no way you sell me on a single elimination. Lose and go home. That's a tougher scenario than two out of three at home when you've been the best team in the country at home. They've broken like every record there is in college baseball.
The odds were accurate. The odds were right. I think if you played that series over 10 times, that might be the only time Notre Dame pulls that off. Maybe two out of 10. They pull out a victory in that series. But that's the game of baseball. That's sports. That's why we love sports. There's upsets. It's played by people. Stuff
Not
happens.
Robots.
Not robots.
Dang it. We need to go to robots.
That's why we love it, though.
Well, we've cleared that up. Athletes are not robots. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the first hour of the DDC. We'll continue the discussion. Teron Davenport to begin the second hour. And, of course, we're going to get D-Mace to weigh in on A.J. Brown, the latest installment of him. Oh, boy. More DDC next. Well, I'm not sure that's going to be the case for Tennessee fans, at least today. It probably doesn't feel that way at all. By the way, we've got a fantastic prize an hour from now. A 4-pack of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium. That is going to be in 13 days. So, no, 12 days. Gosh, my math sucks. Saturday, June 25th. So, 12 days from now. Not this upcoming Saturday, the following Saturday at Nissan Stadium. A 4-pack of tickets to Monster Jam. So, keep that in mind. And all you have to do is tell us what you know. Look, it's not going to feel good today. And I get it. They're going to get pounded from every fan base across the country because when you play a certain way and you have that swagger and you've done the things that we've talked about all season, you know, look, everybody else is going to be kicking dirt, right? They just are. That's how it works. But I would say most, I don't want to say all Tennessee fans because I don't think you can speak for everyone, but most, the majority for sure, loved watching this team and would be just fine if they want them to play with that. They loved that because I will say this. We're college baseball fans, but the reality is this is the time of year when we're talking about it. We're just not talking about regular season series that much. We're just not. Unless we have Tim Corbin on, who we love, or Tony Vitello on, you know, we're just not really talking about, or any of the other local college coaches in baseball, we're just not talking about regular season series, but we did with this team. We did. I mean, think about it. We were talking about the Ole Miss series when they went down to Oxford and kicked the crap out of the number one team at the time, the number one team in the land, which, oh, by the way, Ole Miss went into a tailspin after that.
And where are they now?
And some people didn't even think they were supposed to be in this. As we talked about, teams that have used that as motivation, and here they are. They've done it from on the road, and they've punched their ticket into Omaha.
And Lane,
and did it pretty easy.
Lane Kiffin had a very interesting tweet.
Oh, boy. I don't think I know. Take a look at
Lane's tweet. No, he's listen, did he take full advantage of that situation? Oh, yes, he did. We'll read that off in a moment. But I do think I would like to – throw this at Tennessee fans when all year long the style of play, the antics, as Derek called them, have been defended, coaches getting suspended, the celebrations, excessive celebrations, all of the stuff. Is it worth it if you don't win the whole thing?
That's a great question.
Or is it a fair evaluation to say, look, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I like enthusiasm, I like bravado, but let's tone it down a little bit, and maybe that. I mean, can you not do that a little bit, or are you all in on all of it all the time, regardless of the results? Because I don't think every Tennessee fan. I've talked to some. Uh-huh. They don't like.
I know
that
that's
they,
why I didn't
that
say
gone
all of
past. They have.
But the
they have gone
do,
past.
Though.
They have gone over the line on some things. The middle finger and all
I
of that stuff.
I think that was
look,
probably
you're, and
the,
and it,
re-
it comes
the
in.
Straw.
And it hurts you on the field. Uh-huh. There's no doubt in my mind that that umpiring crew on Friday came in and said, we're not taking the crap. All right? We're going to warn them. And they did. They warned the center fielder, Drew Gilbert, tone it down. Mm-hmm. And then when he F-bombed twice after strike one, by the way, it's the middle of the game. It's strike one. Ump said, I'm not going to take it. You're out of here. I already warned you. And so was there a little bit of short fuse? Heck yeah. But your reputation precedes you.
But,
so it hurt
no, no,
you
no,
on
no.
the
but,
field. It
but,
hurt you on the field.
I understand
you lost
what
your,
that's
one of your best players for half the series because he couldn't control himself. You know why? Because mm-hmm. they've been doing it all year long. They're in such a habit, and it was tolerated. But this umpiring crew that's outside of the league came in and said, we're not
well,
going to tolerate
the, it. That's the ump's fault. The ump's fault shouldn't, you know, insert
why
themselves
is it the
fault? Because
every,
they shouldn't insert them.
Their
no,
own.
No, they shouldn't insert themselves into a game because of their emotions. If
no,
if
you can't F-bomb
no,
the umpire
no, no,
twice.
No, no, no,
you can't F-bomb two in a row.
No, what I'm saying is this: did he deliberately like F-bomb the ref, or did he just like I struck out like and then just threw out the F-bomb?
No, he F-bombed the ump right to his face twice. Right at him. It was audible right in the middle of the at-bat. And everybody knows you
well,
can't
after
do
the
that.
First one, he should have threw him out. If that,
no, he did
if,
it twice.
If,
no,
what
he,
I'm saying
he,
is that if indeed that's the case, here's what I'm saying. Is if he didn't, because I didn't see that portion, if he didn't turn around and deliberately F-bomb the ref, the ump, excuse me, then you got to just, the ump is there, the ump the game. Just let them do it. Talk to the coach. Hey, listen, we have a problem. He needs to chill out. You know,
he did that.
Don't insert
he did that
yourself,
in the second inning.
Don't insert yourself into the game because of UT's reputation. My thing is, I don't care about UT's, you know, the antics they do. If you don't want them to do it, then stop them from hitting home runs and getting on base. That's the way I feel about sports in regards to guys showboating and everything else. If you don't want to showboat, if you don't want them to showboat, then stop them. You know, stop their offense. Keep the ball in the park. That will stop UT from showboating. Okay? I don't
showboating,
think.
Showboating.
I don't
but
think.
But what
that
about had, showing up the umpires?
I don't think that had anything to do with this team losing this game. Their reputation. I don't think that. Because my thing is, you can't look at a guy and say, tone it down. You're taking away his ability and his attitude and personality to play the game. When
no,
you
the
say,
umpire
oh, turn,
can tell.
No, I'm talking about the head coach. I'm not talking about the ump.
Okay, but
I'm not saying the ump.
So we're talking about two different things. He got thrown out for a conduct towards the umpire, not for antics of enthusiasm or emotion. But when you throw the F bomb at the umpire twice after he's already told you to cool it, then you're going
to
get thrown out. And then all of the other antics come out, and the pitching coach gets thrown out for sprinting out of the dugout, which he's already done before this season and got thrown out and suspended because of it. So I just think you've got to rein in. When you say antics, the emotion, the enthusiasm, that's all good, and bravado, that's good, but when it spills over to the umpires, that's where you got to be able to balance it out a little bit, in my opinion. If you know, and look, I am not a Tennessee fan. Everybody knows that. But I just wonder, for a lot of Tennessee fans, would you like to see your team tone it or just adjust it a little bit to where it's not quite as extreme as we saw this year?
But then maybe
they're a better
not,
version without
Willie,
losing the emotion.
Maybe they're not the team they are if they do tone it down. You know, You have to play. You have to play with a sense of attitude. You have to. You got to play with a sense of arrogance. You have to. You have to play with this sense of I'm better than you. You have to. All the great ones, when you talk about them or you line up against them or you play against them, there's an arrogance in them. You can't get mad. There's a sense of I'm better than you and I'm going to dominate you. And when I dominate you, I'm going to show you that I dominated you.
Okay.
All the great, every true competitor rose that way. You know, whether it's a silent, you know, whatever, right. or is a more vocal one.
So but you all, but everybody has to have a balance somewhere in there. And I think in baseball too, baseball is an extremely difficult game. We are not, you're not physically overpowering your opponent like you are in football or hockey, where you're not just, I'm getting myself jacked up and I'm just going to overpower you because I'm stronger than you. That's where I think the controlled emotion is something to look at if you're Tennessee, because you're right. I think there is a lot of, it drives your team. It's your team's identity. But can you still look at that and tweak it and make it better?
I don't think they could.
Great question for Tony Vitello.
I don't think you want
to have that reputation as bad as it is. Obviously a lot of people think that that's a good thing and that's what they want.
I'm saying this season with this team, I don't think you could have changed it. This is who they were. They were this boisterous, you know, in your face. Listen, we doing things our way. And you know what? Baseball should be thanking UT. College baseball should be thanking UT.
Yeah,
because
they are.
Of the way they play.
I think they are.
And with the bravado and the in your face. And listen, this is who we are. And we're unapologetically this way. We're not going to apologize for what we do and what we say. It might, you know, we might, somebody might get upset. We might hurt somebody's feelings. But this is who we are. And it led them to a, 53-7 season? So
totally.
That part I wouldn't take back. I would say keep playing that way. That's your attitude.
Right. But I think they will to a large degree. I'm just asking from within that program, is there a little bit of adjusting you can do to where it's not quite as extreme? And would that make you better? That's the real question. Would that make you a better team? Because you're right. It is great for the entertainment value for all of us. And there's people that really enjoy being on the other side because it goes to show you, just like in movies and everything else, they become the most fun team to beat. Those are the types of teams that are the most enjoyable to defeat, right? That's just how life has always been. And the real question, too, and it looks like they're having no trouble getting big-time players. But there's probably a lot of players that don't want to play in a program like that. They would rather play on a team that beats teams like that. But it's great theater for all of us, and it absolutely has helped the attention on college baseball. There's no question about it. So on that, we got to run, and we will change gears, talk to Teron Davenport. We'll catch up with the Titans on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.